concentration camp.
My family is killed in Gaza yesterday. And my brother and my uncle, every people killed in Gaza. That is not good for Israel. Israel is not good.
One sign read, "It is not about religion, it is about humanity. Stop genocide." Campaigners claim that Israel is attempting to wipe out Palestinians with the assistance of some Western powers.
The USA and the EU are actually very hypocrites because a genocide is finding place at this time in 2023.
There are a lot of kids killed and people have to move from their place and they have nowhere to go, etc. And that's really, really horrible for the people of Palestine.
It's a genocide, it's not a war. It's not a war. Palestine has not a military power, has not nothing.
They say that they are for peace, but in the same way they are sending weapons, they are sending bombs. It's not fair.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen was in Israel on Friday.
Europe stands with Israel.
During her media statement, she did not mention Palestinian victims once. Activists are calling on EU authorities to help stop the bloodshed and worsening humanitarian disaster in Gaza.
European Council President Charles Michel announced on Saturday that an emergency meeting of EU leaders will take place via video conference on Tuesday evening. This has attracted a lot of criticism on social media, with people asking if they think it's such an emergency, why wait until Tuesday evening? Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Hundreds hit the streets of Istanbul to show solidarity with Palestinian people. The demonstrators condemned Israeli atrocities against Palestinian civilians and the siege imposed on the Gaza Strip. People chanted slogans against the United States, European Union, and Israel, accusing them of committing crimes by depriving Palestinian citizens living in Gaza from electricity, water, and medical supplies. They also condemned Israelis' bombardment of the blockaded territory, which has so far resulted in the death of more than 2,000 civilians.
This state was built on bloodshed and forced migration. They continue to commit the worst inhuman crimes, and the whole world is watching. They are doing it with the help of the Western imperial countries. We are here to call our government and Muslim countries to unite their efforts to end this occupation.
The pro-Palestinian protest comes amid Western countries' unwavering support for Israel. This is while countries supporting the Palestinian resistance are very few. Protesters voiced their anger at their governments, who did not take serious moves to stop the bombing of Gaza.
We came here today to say that Gaza and Al-Aqsa Mosque, that they are not alone. Even if our governments did not move a finger to stand with Palestinians, we as people will always stand with the Palestine cause, for it is a humanitarian cause before all. We are here to voice our support to the Palestine resistance who are defending themselves and their people against Zionist crimes.
People from all walks of life, the elderly, women and children, attended the demonstration to pledge that the Palestinian cause is not political, but rather a humanitarian cause. They called the whole Muslim nation to stand up for Palestine.
We are here to defend our first Qibla, our brothers and sisters in Palestine who are facing ethnic cleansing by these fascist Zionists. We are certain that this land will be liberated no matter how much the US and West try. Palestine will be free and justice shall prevail. This is God's promise.
Saturday's rally is the second such a protest in Istanbul. It comes as Turkish officials are in touch with Egyptian authorities to facilitate the transfer of basic necessities, including food and medical supplies, to the people living in the Gaza Strip. People here called the government to take concrete steps to end the Israeli siege on Gaza and put an end to the regime's atrocities against innocent civilians. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Tens of thousands of Palestinians demonstrated across the occupied West Bank in support of their brothers and sisters in the besieged Gaza Strip and against Israeli airstrikes pounding the blockaded territory for almost a week. Thousands here in Ramallah poured out onto the streets after the Friday prayers, demanding the world not to turn a blind eye to the atrocities committed by Israel against the civilians in the long-blockaded Gaza Strip.
It's a new stage in the ethnic cleansing of our people and a genocide. Our message to the whole world, the Palestinian people have the right to live, not to be killed. Immediate international intervention is required to end the massacres and end the Israeli occupation and prevent the current ethnic cleansing. We are all in the same boat, and we have the right to resist the Israeli occupation granted by the international laws.
Hundreds of Gazans living and working in Ramallah have been among the protesters. All of them told us they feel helpless. All of them are worried about their family members. They fear that if their beloved ones die, they will not be able to see them. And they wish they were there with their family under the airstrikes so they would die together.
Civilians are being murdered. We are not terrorists. We are not the murderers of children. This war must immediately come to an end. My family, my wife, and my children are there in Gaza. Can you imagine how I feel? I cannot sleep. It's painful to stay here and watch without being able to do anything when the Israelis are committing all sorts of atrocities against my people.
I wonder if the world is watching the children and infants in Gaza being slaughtered. 20 children from Abu al-Hayat family were slaughtered. They were my family's neighbors. The situation on the ground is awful. What should I say? What sort of message can we deliver? What's happening is so difficult. Only Allah can save us. No one will save Gaza today but Allah.
Following the rally in central Ramallah, scores of Palestinians from all walks of life marched toward areas where Israeli checkpoints were located across the occupied West Bank. Thousands of protesters arrived at the Beit El military checkpoint northern Ramallah and clashed with Israeli soldiers. The troops opened fire at the rally to disperse the angry protesters.
The scenes of slaughter and genocide committed against civilians in the Gaza Strip is a proof that Israel is trying to wipe out the entire besieged territory. And if this happens, people here say they will face the same destiny. Muna Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
Chants against the U.S. and Israel resonated through streets of Pakistan as angry protesters set their flags alight. People across Pakistan came together to observe Friday as a day of solidarity with the Palestinians, expressing their unwavering support for the liberation of Palestine. The gesture is intended to demonstrate Pakistan's commitment to the rights and welfare of Palestinian people. The streets of key Pakistani cities were filled with demonstrators condemning the ongoing Israeli aggression against the Palestinians in the occupied territories.
We can see that in the whole world, the people, they are now admiring that the Palestinian people, they have the right to live in their own homeland, which was actually over-occupied by the Israelis. So here, the people of Pakistan, they are showing their emotions, their sensation and their feelings to support this cause.
We are here to show the support to the people of Palestine.
We condemn the Israeli bombing on Gaza.
The Friday prayers in mosques across Pakistan were dedicated to Palestinian cause, with special prayers offered for peace and justice in the war-torn region. The demonstrators emphasized the importance of a just and lasting solution to the Palestine issue, one that recognizes the rights and aspirations of people of Palestine.
Today, the whole of Pakistan is on the streets to tell the people of Palestine that they are not alone and we all stand by you. You are the one who teaches us how to stand firm against the oppressor. Palestinians have not only shown that they are brave enough, but also prove that they are real Husseinis and are also true Muslims.
These protest rallies seek an end to violence, observance of human rights, and Palestinian liberation.
The protests in Pakistan are part of a global movement in support of the Palestinian cause. During rallies, people around the world express their solidarity with the Palestinians and call for an end to Israel's aggression. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
A large crowd of Afghans marching in Kabul to show their solidarity with Palestinians facing Israeli atrocities and bloodshed in Gaza. The protesters waved Palestinian flags and chanted slogans against Israel and the United States, saying they will stand with their brothers and sisters in Palestine forever.
The Afghanistan Mujahid Nation has gathered today here to praise and to withstand with their brothers in Palestine, especially in Gaza, the Mubarak operation of Tufan al-Aqsa, which has shown us the weakness of our enemy, the Zionist enemy, Israel. And also we are here to stand with our civilian brothers and sisters who are being killed, tortured, and bombed, and being blasted by the Israeli Zionist regime, committing an act of war crime under the eyes of the international community by support of the biggest Satan of this world, the United States and the European countries.
The participants condemned the Israeli war on Gaza and U.S. support for the killing of innocent Palestinians. They also called on all Muslim nations to unite around Palestine and fight global arrogance and oppression.
The American tank, the American bomb, the American thing coming to Palestine, they killing Palestinian civilian. They kick out the Palestinian from his own house. The Muslims should stand together. They need to act together. The way the American, the Yehuda, the Nasara act together, the Muslims should do the same thing. Why they are sleeping?
For the sake of God, it is a shame for the Arab nations to witness their Palestinian brothers suffer and do nothing. Where is your courage and Islamic brotherhood? If you are not supporting Palestine in the face of our worst enemy, you can't claim to be a Muslim. You should make it clear whether you are with the Muslim Ummah or with the occupiers.
The rally in Kabul was one of the many demonstrations held across the world in support of Palestine. Millions of Muslims condemned the Israeli regime's atrocities against the people of Palestine as the Tel Aviv regime kept pounding the Gaza Strip with bombs and continued its complete siege on the area.
Afghan people have always supported Palestinians in the face of atrocities and occupation. Today, they join other nations to call for an immediate end to Israeli assaults and killings of innocent people in Gaza. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
On the last leg of his regional tour, Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian arrived in Qatar on Saturday. The top Iranian diplomat was received by his Qatari counterpart Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani in the capital, Doha. In addition to reviewing relations, the two diplomats discussed developments across the occupied Palestinian territories, particularly in the Gaza Strip, which is experiencing an Israeli intensified onslaught. Later on Saturday night, the Iranian foreign minister held a meeting with the head of the political bureau of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, in the Qatari capital. During their meeting, Amir Abdullahian said Operation Al-Aqsa Flood was the Palestinian nation's natural reaction to continued crimes and provocative moves by the Israeli regime. He also said that Tehran had proposed holding an emergency meeting of the foreign ministers of Islamic countries and backs any initiative by Muslim countries in support of the Palestinian nation. Haniyeh, for his part, said despite the regime's war crimes and destruction of Gaza's homes, mosques, and hospitals, the Palestinian resistance remains powerful and strong. On Sunday, Amir Abdullahian held a meeting with Qatar's Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani. During their meeting, the Iranian minister urged Muslim countries to work for an end to the war crimes committed by the apartheid Zionist regime. For his part, the Qatari emir expressed concerns about the humanitarian situation in Gaza and said Qatar's stance on the Palestinian issue would never change as it prioritizes an end to the crimes of Israel in the besieged territory. Amir Abdullahian had arrived in Qatar on the last leg of a regional tour, which also took him to Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. During his tour, Iran's top diplomat held talks with counterparts and senior officials of the four countries to discuss the situation in Palestine.
We pursued two goals during our trip to the countries of Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, and Qatar. First, to meet with the leaders of the resistance and to be informed of the exact status quo of the resistance in the face of Israeli war crimes. Second, to meet and consult with the leaders of regional countries to find a quick political solution to stop Israeli war crimes.
Amir Abdullahian also said the country will actively attend an urgent ministerial meeting planned by the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation to discuss the escalating situation in the Gaza Strip in Palestine.
The Islamic Republic of Iran has been invited to the extraordinary meeting of the OIC, and we will actively attend this session. The meeting is scheduled for October 18 in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, where the OIC is headquartered.
Doha is the final station of Mr. Amir Abdullahian's regional tour. During this trip, Mr. Amir Abdullahian has time and again reiterated Tehran's support for the oppressed people of Palestine. The main message of his tour is that all Muslim countries must provide support for the people of Palestine. Mahdi Abbasian, Doha.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to PressTV's Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. Over 2,800 Palestinians have been killed and some 1,000 of them are children in the continual onslaught of the Gaza Strip by the Israeli regime, and more than 10,000 people have been injured. Pressure continues on Palestinians in the West Bank also, as our attention has been on Gaza. 65 Palestinians have been killed and over 1,300 injured in the West Bank during the last 10 days. Nearly 1,900 Israelis have been killed and more than 3,800 injured by Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Now, despite the rising Palestinian fatalities, people in both Gaza and the West Bank say October 7th will go down in history for what the resistance was able to do. It is also the day that the true image of the Israeli paper tiger was seen like never before. Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to this program. Elijah Mackey, a journalist and political analyst out of Brussels. And Mick Napier, co-founder of Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign out of Edinburgh. Thank you both for being with me. I'd like to start it off in Brussels. And Elijah, well, the resistance operation on October 7th destroyed the invincible image that the regime had tried to portray. I want to talk about the effect of that on both sides, one for the resistance and also for the Israeli regime.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I do think the events of September is going to be a historical day, because that marked the defeat of the what it used to be called the invincible army. But above all, what is the most important, it has created a state of uncertainty among all the settlers. And this uncertainty means that no longer anyone living in Israel feels secure and has lost the trust in the Israeli army to defend him, or to defend the family that were coming from all over the world with only the religion of Judaism that united them when they come from Europe, from Ethiopia, from Russia, from all different countries. They have nothing in common but a place where they have taken by force and is offering them protection and facilities. Well, that has gone on the 7th of October, and this is what represents the huge hit not only to the government of Benjamin Netanyahu and his far-right extremist members of the government like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, but to the entire Israeli society that feel that Israel has shaken and is no longer as strong as it like to offer itself to the world. However, it still controls the media, that for sure, and it's still silencing the whole Western world. Nevertheless, the ground has shaken under the feet of Israel, and only a handful of few hundred resistance in Palestine broke all the security and technological cameras and measures around the biggest concentration camp in open air, that is Gaza, and managed to defeat one of the strongest brigade, that is called Gaza Brigade, and managed to take over 199, which is what we know so far, prisoners, among those four generals of the Israeli army and others. So for that hit, this is why Israel has lost control and gone completely mad and resort to its powerful air force, destroying Gaza and inflicting such a big heavy casualties on the civilians. So again, Israel is violating international laws and all the Geneva Convention and the UN Charter by indiscriminately killing all the civilians in Gaza under the excuse of getting rid of Hamas, when more than 1,030 children and women have been killed so far. And these are not Hamas, or they're not Islamic Resistance or any other fighters, because they are too small to wage war on Israel. They will one day. This is why the Israeli kills them when they are too small. That's the Israeli doctrine.
Well, Mick, as Elijah has just stated, over 1,000 kids have been killed. There is no water, no electricity, no food, and no fuel in Gaza. How can the world of 2023, just sit and let this genocide happen?
Well, how could they sit and watch Afghanistan being reduced to a terrible situation at the cost of, I think, $2 trillion by the Americans? How can, I mean, the control of the media and the willingness of the NATO countries to support war crimes is very, very strong. I mean, the invasion of Iraq, I think Madeleine Albright was asked before the invasion that, you know, she was told that 500,000 children had died, Iraqi children, because of the sanctions before even the mass killing. And she was asked if this was a price worth paying for to realize American goals. And she said, yes, it's a price worth paying. So they're quite happy to see 500,000 Iraqi children dead because of sanctions. They're quite happy to see, they were quite happy in my youth to see 3 million Vietnamese dead after America invaded. So the idea that there's nothing surprising in European elites striving to control access of access by their populations to information that would help them make sense of what's going on and conceal the most bloody aggression. It just is part of European and North American ruling class skills. They do it. Sometimes they lose, and sometimes it fails. And I have to stress, in the case of Israel, there's a real crisis brewing, because I woke up 9 days ago on Saturday morning, and I could not believe what I was watching on TV. I thought I had studied Israel-Palestine in depth for a very long time, but I hadn't realized what the Palestinian resistance was capable of. Very few people outside did. So I was alone in my, I was not alone in my ignorance and my mistake. But it was quite astonishing. It was so astonishing that just as the Hezbollah defeat of Israel in 2006 has been studied at great length in war colleges among professional soldiers around the world, this will also be studied in war in staff colleges, in war colleges, because it was so remarkable. And as Elijah has said, it's the story of a guerrilla group fighting an asymmetrical war against a very powerful opponent technologically and achieving the most astonishing breakthrough. breaking out of a cage that Israel used to sell that idea, their technology in building cages, to other countries, to say, look what we've done to the Palestinians. They are reduced to impotence by our cage technology for the American border with Mexico or some other place. And that's been blown to pieces. So what was achieved was utterly astonishing, beyond almost human credulity to believe that that was happening. So amazing. Now, Israel is a settler colonial project. It wants to follow in the footsteps of America and Australia and clean out the native people and replace them with incoming immigrants. To achieve that, they don't just need to have a military edge, which they have. I mean, France had a military edge in Algeria and lost, but they need to have an overwhelming invulnerability to any reprisal by the natives that makes resistance unthinkable. That's been the Zionist doctrine since before 1948 and every day since then. And that has been very badly dented, no question about it. And I think their salesmen going around the world are going to have to sell their goods at a much lower price because they were tested on the Palestinians and seem to have failed. But going forward, they will wreak terrible havoc. It's vengeance. In Gaza, they've been humiliated, and they discuss openly that they must restore what they call their deterrent edge. They must restore the myth of their invulnerability, and that will mean thousands of corpses. That will mean the refrigerator vans in Gaza at the moment are filled with small bodies, as they were in 2014 and 2009, and the cost will be extremely high. But if I may just add a final sentence, in a anti-colonial struggle, it's the people. It's not the people who can kill the most who win. It's those who can take terrible punishment in Algeria, in Vietnam, in Palestine, and continue to resist. That looks like to be the Palestinians.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Yeah, well, what about that, Elijah? I mean, the Palestinians have been resisting for 75 years. And Mick said that the regime, the Israeli regime, wants to try to get back that invincibility image. Do you think that it's gone forever, Elijah, with what has happened? I mean, you're talking about a resistance that's basically highly surveilled, controlled, and then the regime, of course, having the most sophisticated weapons, helicopters, airplanes, everything. But look at what happened on October the 7th. Your take, has that image been gone and tarnished forever?
Actually, so for the first time, it is not Israel that wages war against its neighbors or against the Palestinians. It is the other way around. And this is what is driving the Israelis completely off balance. And this is why Benjamin Netanyahu said nothing in the first hours and in the first day. They were all under complete shock. Yes. Because normally it's Israel that starts the war and Israel that decides when to begin a war and start gathering all the forces, equipments and effectives and allies for the war. This time Israel was surprised and did not expect, apart from being a total intelligence failure and the capacity of Hamas to be able to hide such a large-scale operation. And this is where I come to the number two of my point, which is Hamas is no longer fighting with stones. Hamas is no longer fighting with sticks or with light arms. The experience that Hamas and the Axis of Resistance shares among themselves, the knowledge, the weaponry, the tactic, the preparedness, and above all, the spirit of fighting for survival. And the contrary, the Israelis are the occupiers. They don't fight to survive. They fight because they are told that their air force can destroy everything before the infantry goes in, and they will fight a war that is a kind of electronic war. This time they were faced with something completely different that they are not used to. When Moshe Dayan was a chief of staff and then defense minister, he told his prime minister, Golda Meir, tell me which Arab country you want me to occupy with only the music unit of the army. Well, that's gone, because Hamas showed the capability of breaking the image of the invincible army forever. It's not going to be for a year or two, no matter what they do to Gaza, no matter what, even if they go for a ground invasion, this image had been broken, and really Hamas proved, and the Islamic Jihad, Gaza with its inhabitants, because you need a society that is expressing solidarity with all the resistance, otherwise the resistance cannot survive. So the whole of Gaza showed that the Israelis are really weaker than a spider net, and they can be defeated, and gave a big lesson to all the Gulf and Arab countries who are normalizing with Israel, saying this is the entity that you want to put your hand with to protect yourself. See what we can do in just a few hours, causing 1,500 killed and 2,500 Israeli wounded.
Yeah, that's interesting what you said, Elijah. And what about that, Mick? I mean, it's not just the image that's been destroyed for the regime itself, but let's talk about it in the region and what that means. Elijah talked about the Arab regimes who basically had given their hands in solidarity with the regime. I would think that they would be pretty unnerved right now also, just like Israeli settlers are.
Well, yes. I mean, America was trying to cobble together alliances to isolate Iran, to say that America was going to start concentrating on a real conflict and a potential war with China in the future, and therefore they would be paying less attention to the Middle East, and therefore these regimes should really depend on Israel to protect them from a supposed Iranian threat. That looks like not such a good bet anymore. But I'd like to disagree a little bit. Not disagree, but I'd like to stress rather differently the terrible cost that Israel can impose upon the Palestinians. See, I think that they don't care really about the hostages. The Israelis have long had the so-called Hannibal Directive, that if anyone's captured by the Palestinians, then they obliterate the area and they kill the Israeli captive in the process, rather than have them become bargaining chips to release Palestinian prisoners. So they're bitterly cruel towards Israelis as well. But they also have, still with a term from the ancient world, they also have the Samson option. They have 200 nuclear weapons, and when the state is threatened, which it will be, there's always the threat that they will use these nuclear weapons. And they're so crazy. I mean, the West has incubated in Israel a state which believes that not just Palestinians, but even their friends, their allies, hate them, that the whole world hates Jews as an axiom of Zionism, and that therefore, they often don't calculate as rationally as other states. So I think that, yes, they've suffered a terrible blow to their credibility. And across the Middle East and beyond, people are inspired by Hamas, inspired by the Palestinian resistance. And we can see this with a million people on the streets of Sana'a last Saturday, and huge crowds in the other Middle Eastern capitals and way beyond. They will be exerting pressure on their rulers. One of the goals of the resistance 9 days ago was to prevent normalization between Israel and Saudi Arabia. It's a success. They've done it. And I think that won't be the end of it. Other regimes which have normalized and semi-normalized will come under incredible pressure as a popular opinion inspired by Palestinian resistance, because the whole thing is intimately connected with the psychology of Arab peoples. They will put their rulers under great pressure to abandon or to annul normalization and to begin to give some support, real support, not just bandages, to the Palestinians. So, yes, I think in that respect, it has changed the psychology across thousands of miles and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people across the Middle East. It's an astonishing achievement. It really is. There's nothing quite like it. The only thing I can think of that compares on a bigger scale, but not quite so dramatic, was the Tet Offensive in Vietnam, when America was always winning, talking about winning. We were just about to win. And then suddenly, out of seemingly nowhere, the Tet Offensive smuggled, removed the will to fight of the American government. And I think this is comparable, although there's still many steps to go.
Right. Well, Elijah, because I'm reading some of the latest news, different situations that have taken place now. It says the Israeli regime, the police there, have bought over 6,000 rifles for 566 new civilian response units that it has founded for border cities and major cities and mixed Arab-Jewish cities that they have prioritized as those most urgently needing the forces. And it says since October 7th, some 41,000 Israelis have applied for a gun license compared to 38,000 annually. And Ben-Gavir's office is relaxing, of course, any criteria for pistol licenses. So where do you see this going? What does that mean?
Well, arming the settlers is something that is not new at all. On the contrary, this is used to terrorize the Palestinian civilians and to make sure that they can always kill unaccountably any Palestinian they want, and to violate their privacy and take their home, remove all their properties, destroy their olive trees, etc. So the settlers enjoy the support of the Israeli army all the time. They don't move without the support of the Israeli army. They're too coward to do that. And they're more coward by attacking these Palestinian civilians who are unarmed. We've seen when they were faced with the people of Gaza and the Palestinian resistance in Gaza, what they have done. We will see them what they will do if they go on a ground invasion of Gaza. We've seen them before in 2012 when they invaded Gaza, what happened to them and how they did not manage to advance but a few hundred meters with all their mighty of military equipment. So all that is not going to change really anything. But we've seen, and it made me laugh, when Netanyahu asked Joe Biden for 2 million individual rifle, automatic rifle, to give to the settlers so they can defend themselves when Israel manufactured these weapons. So he's really trying to squeeze out of the Americans anything he can grab. So it is just a show of a meanness and just saying that we are defensive. Since when the Israelis are defensive? If they want to move in any manifestation, they have a whole army, more than manifestator, with them, protecting them and supporting them, terrorizing the Palestinians, not respecting the UN resolution of allowing people to worship in Jerusalem and respect the right of religion, spitting on church and on mosque. This is what the Israelis do on every day because they thought they are the new dominant of the territory. Well, they are mistaken. For the first time, Israel is shaking, with or without tens of thousands of individual weapon, is not going to change anything.
Okay. And of course, there's a lot of fear inside of the regime these days from the settlers, as I've been reading many different things online about that extreme sense of insecurity that the settlers feel. On that note, we have to end it. Sorry we're out of time, but I appreciate both of you being with me. Elijah Magnier, journalist and political analyst out of Brussels. Mick Napier, co-founder of Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign out of Edinburgh. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
International Center of Justice for Palestinians, co-chaired by conservative MP, says Britain is aiding path to war crimes in Gaza. The International Center of Justice for Palestinians, ICJP, issued a notice to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak over the UK providing military, economic, and political support to Israel, which has aided Israel's perpetration of war crimes. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, a UK-based legal centre has announced its intention to seek to prosecute British government officials over complicity in the Zionist regime war crimes in Gaza. The International Centre of Justice for Palestinians issued a notice to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak over the UK providing military, economic and political support to the Zionist regime, which has aided the Zionist regime's perpetration of war crimes. It said that the Zionist regime's efforts at a forcible transfer of more than 1 million people in North Gaza to southern parts of the enclave in less than 24 hours may amount to both a war crime and a crime against humanity. It added, the siege of Gaza, restricting electricity, food, water, and other basic necessities, constitutes collective punishment, which is also a war crime under the Geneva Convention. Now that war crimes have been carried out, continuation of such support and assistance would mean that UK government officials would be complicit in the commission of war crimes and potentially crimes against humanity. The notice by ICJP has been sent to Scotland Yard's War Crimes Unit, which has asked for evidence of war crimes in the region. The Zionist regime has killed thousands of people during its bombing campaign in Gaza recently, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. Of those killed, hundreds are children and hundreds are women.
Middle East Eye added the UK government has said it supported the Zionist regime's right to defend itself and to take action against what they claimed as terrorism. A Foreign Office spokesperson said recently, unlike Hamas, Israeli President Herzog has said their armed forces will operate in accordance with international law. It claimed, given that Hamas has embedded itself in the civilian population in Gaza, it is important that Israel takes all possible measures to protect ordinary Palestinians and to facilitate humanitarian aid. During those comments, where President Herzog claimed the Zionist regime operated within international law, the president apportioned blame on all residents of Gaza. He said recently, "It is an entire nation out there that is responsible. It's not true, this rhetoric about civilians not being aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true. They could have risen up. They could have fought against that evil regime which took over Gaza in a coup d'etat," he claimed. ICJP is co-chaired by Crispin Blunt, an MP belonging to Sunak's Conservative Party and a former chair of Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee. He told Sky News recently that the forcible transfer of people in Gaza breached international law, and that parties with knowledge of such breaches made themselves complicit. And as international law has developed in this area, the fact of being complicit makes you equally guilty to the party carrying out the crime. Keir Starmer, leader of the UK opposition, also come under criticism recently after stating that Israel had the right to totally cut power and water supplies to Palestinians in Gaza. Asked about the Zionist regime's complete siege on Gaza and the cutting of water and electricity, Starmer told broadcaster LBC, "I think that Israel does have that right. It is an ongoing situation. Obviously, everything should be done within international law, but I don't want to step away from the core principles that Israel has the right to defend herself." Meanwhile, Middle East Monitor wrote, "The International Center of Justice for Palestinians, ICJP, has issued Prime Minister Rishi Sunak with a stark warning that UK government officials could be individually liable for their role in aiding and abetting Israeli regime war crimes. Sunak has been issued with a notice of intention to prosecute UK government officials for their role in providing military, economic and political support to the Zionist regime, which has aided the Zionist regime's perpetration of war crimes. This remarkable development comes at a time when Scotland Yard's War Crimes Unit have opened calls for evidence relating to war crimes in the region. In an incredible turn of events, this could lead to UK government officials being prosecuted for war crimes by Scotland Yard. Individuals also be prosecuted by the International Criminal Court. The UK government has provided military assistance and economic and political support to the Zionist regime. Now that war crimes have been carried out, continuation of such support and assistance would mean that UK government officials would be complicit in the commission of war crimes and potentially crimes against humanity. This complicity, formally known as aiding and abetting war crimes, may mean that UK government officials are individually criminally liable for breaking international law.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
An Israeli airstrike on a hospital in Gaza City kills hundreds of Palestinians, with hundreds of others still trapped under rubble. The Hamas says that Israel's attack on the hospital in Gaza that killed at least 500 people proves regime's brutality and extent of its feeling of defeat. And Iran's leader calls for trial of Israeli officials, warning if the regime's crimes against Palestinians continue, then no one can stop Muslims and the resistance forces.